Baseball's making its way into cricket. Big Bash, they're going to introduce a catching the ball. You can keep it in the first over. Tim David, it's a massive six. Biggers, Shohei Ohtani, and the Australian cricket team can't figure out their batting lineup or their squad yet. That's cricket team. Liam, excited for the show, mate. Look at that.
That's cricket.
We got some stickers. We got stickers. Hey!
Oh, hang on a minute.
Well, hang on, what's happening here? Oi! Jimmy's here, everyone.
We've got more than stickers.
Wow. We got more than stickers team. Look at this.
We've got the official ceremony.
Oh, wow. This is
the hat ceremony.
Welcome you guys to the team.
Thank you very much.
It's an honor.
Thanks,
privilege.
Mate.
I'm very excited.
Thanks, mate. Check it out.
That's cricket.
Wow, I'm changing the cap right here. This is a tradition in cricket for the baseball fans. Before cricket athlete, they get the hat before they start their first game. Well, the baggy blue, baggy green.
We'll have to stitch the numbers in now.
Perfect. Get the numbers on the side. But I've had a few caps in my career, but this is probably by far the best I've received.
Wow.
Start of a new journey.
Wow.
Look at that.
This is awesome. This is amazing. Love the hat. I'm excited to be here, mate, being part of the Jumboy Meteor team. New characters here. That's cricket. We're rolling with it.
So, very excited. International hats. The first hat that three different nations have worn as the first three wears.
There we go.
Put that together.
Look at that. Yeah.
Start something great.
Very excited. See what you guys do.
Thank you very much.
Ashes.
The Ashes.
I'm sleeping until we're there because I need to get the rest.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Look at that. I got to look. Looks good. Excited for it.
You're a cap guy, right?
Yeah. Look at the backwards cap. Backwards cap. Now I've got the frontwards cap. It's interesting looking at myself actually with just the front cap on. It's a new look for me.
It's a good look, mate. I like it. That's cricket.
That's cricket. Talking about caps.
I did bring one in because we're coming to the start of the Ashes. There might be a few debuts Ashes debuts.
Yeah.
But also Australian debuts. Obviously, you get given a cap when you make your debut. In England, it's a blue cap with the Lions logo on it. In Australia, it's a famous baggy green.
Baggy green.
So I've heard a lot of the baggy green. Obviously, I would never want one, but I can imagine you did as a kid.
would have liked one.
And then in cricket, you have three formats. You have Test cricket, which is 5 days long. You have a one-day competition and also a T20. So kind of for every format you play, you get a cap. Test cricket is the most prestigious because of the history and the culture around it. So you get given a cap and it's like very traditional, like a soccer cap. When you play T20 and one dayers, it's kind of like this.
Yeah, more of an actual, like a baseball cap.
Yeah, and then towards the back end of my career, England did something really cool where they got everyone who is still alive, who played cricket for England. We had a really cool function dinner and everyone got presented with...
Oh, he's got it.
This guy.
There we go.
Look at this
guy. Wow, with the tassels and everything.
Very old school soccer.
Old school soccer.
But obviously it's really cool to me. It's something I hold dearly to my heart.
I see some numbers on there. Break down those numbers for us.
So we have my test number. So I was the 628th player to play for England.
Wow.
So that one's kind of the most prestigious, as I just mentioned.
That's a historical, edged in history moment right there.
That's full on old school whites. When people see traditional cricket and be like, oh, that's boring, the game's so long.
Yeah.
That's test cricket. That's whites. That's the woolly jumper, knitted cardigans kind of vibe. So that's 628. 190 is my one-day number. So the 190th player to play for England in one-day cricket.
And that's when you won the World Cup. You won the World Cup in the ODIs. That was your ODI win.
Yeah. So that's obviously, everyone is a special thing. 190 is special because it's the World Cup winning team. That was the number I wore on my hat.
It's
different to your jersey. Your jersey number is different to your cap number.
Yes, your cap number, that's the player to play. You're the 190th player to be inducted into the ODI team.
Correct. The next one makes me feel very old in terms of England cricket history. I was the 16th player to play in the T20 format.
Wow.
Which is, that's the birth of T20 cricket.
Yeah.
But this is something kind of special. I'll probably do something separate and speak about it, about what it meant to me when I made the debuts of each sort of individual cricket competition or different format. But something I just brought because we got given our that's cricket caps, which is the most important thing we've ever received in our lives.
It's it right here.
You know?
Yeah.
But I thought I'd just do a little show and tell, you know?
Look at that.
Like being back at what you call elementary school, I guess.
Yeah, so show and tell. We do have to fill out the background in our we gotta infiltrate some of this some of the New York baseball gear with the cricket gear. We've got a book up there. We're gonna start infiltrating the backdrop here, but we're very excited to be here in studio in New York City. So kicking it off here. We're going to roll with the pod. We're going to start the segment off. We're going to try to break down what's happening. So during the pods, during the shows, we're going to try to cover six kind of points. It's the overview. Okay, we're going to break down six things in each show, and then we're going to roll into some awards that we're going to give out at the end for plays of the day and things like that. What the duck moments.
What the duck.
Mm-hmm. With the Ducks. And so as we go, leave comments below, team, on any ideas for some of those awards that may be presented at the end of the day. We're thinking of highlight catch of the day, highlight shot of the day. Shot boy probably is going to be taken.
Is that an Aussie thing?
I just started saying it. I think it's just when I see them play a good shot, I just naturally go, shot boy. Shot boy. I'm a big yapper. I was always the loudest person in any team I played. I'll just make noise. Constant noise. Even if it wasn't like witty in any way, it was just noise.
Were you one of the players the opposition's found annoying?
Absolutely. Everyone hated me. Okay. Everyone hated me. I would just talk constantly. Every ball. Walking in, boys. Let's go, boys. Let's go, fellas. Yeah. First one early. One brings two. Hey, let's go. And then as soon as they would block it, oh, yeah, more blocks in a Lego set. Like just all the random chirp, you know, just constant talk.
I've played against a lot of your character, mate. It's great to play with, but yeah, it is kind of annoying to play against.
Yeah.
But it also brings energy to the game.
Energy. That's the biggest thing. You need that. Is energy. Bringing the energy to the game. I hate the lull in the game. You don't like that. You keep the energy up.
So some people talk and it's absolute useless. It doesn't make sense. If you're a talker, at least make sense.
Yeah.
That's the key. If you're going to have some bant with someone, or what do we call it in terms of like chirp someone, it has to be funny or it has to make sense. Otherwise, it's just like, okay, it's not bothering me. You're annoying me. And it's not going to affect my game.
I think a lot of it is I would chirp for our own team, especially like if you're bowling your six balls, let's say you put one down leg side, right? You got to chirp back to the ball. Okay, top it off now. Let's go. Top it off.
Yeah.
Let's go right outside. Let's go. You know, you're trying to get the bowler, because you don't want to get the bowler, you know, off their rhythm. You want to keep them in their rhythm or keep their, keep in a positive mindset.
You know what? In growing up in the UK, there wasn't really much like team, like banter in terms of like to the other opposition. Since I've been here and I've seen some junior cricket games, it's more like chants against the team. You have like U11s, U13 or come up with a chant saying how bad the opposition is. I'm like, that feels like American sports.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's very like polite and proper. Yeah. Or it might be like 1v1, like an argument. But like here, it was like, no, we've got some really good chants at U11s.
Yeah.
We make this kid who's walking out to bat feel about this big.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, we don't have that. I mean, Bami Ami, they're big. Bami Ami, now they make a lot of noise in the crowd. I don't know if they actually make up some good chants.
Bami Ami are a powerhouse. They're more than just a traveling fan group now. They've got many options, many businesses. But for the fans, obviously USA fans, Bami Ami is a business out of the UK. They follow as a supporters group England around the world.
Yeah.
And they have chants for every players. It's a bit like, I think they call it the Bleacher Creatures here in the Yankee Stadium. So everyone's got a song. Everyone's got some sort of like banter to make them feel good.
Yeah.
When you're running into ball, they'll have like a special song. They've got a guy who plays the trumpet.
Yeah.
The good old trumpet, you know, quick with his fingers, all that good stuff. But yeah, I mean, to have Bami Ami, I think we'll try and get them on this podcast.
Get them in here.
Yeah, 100%. Or even get them to call in from Australia to see what that environment, what the Aussies are saying, what the England fans,
love that. I did a lot of that when I was at MLC. That was me. I was the one guy in the crowd. I'd run through the crowd and try to get everyone pumped up and excited and get that live in-ground experience. So baseball infiltrating, coming into cricket, the Big Bash has implemented, they're proposed to have the ball being kept if a six is hit in the first over of the Big Bash.
First thought, love it. I absolutely love it. I think as a bowler, does the ball change too much? Do you know what I mean? The first
does it?
Ball? I don't think it does.
No.
Maybe like if you're bowling your sixth ball and you've been cracked for a few fours in that over, the ball's starting to get a little bit of wear and tear. But if you get hit for six on that last ball, maybe obviously the next ball is going to have an advantage because it's a new pill, a new ball. But I actually love it because it's going to make the crowd engage a little bit more. And not too many sixes get hit off the first over. What do you think? I think as a T20 bowler, like obviously you have batsmen who come out and try and hit sixes, home runs from ball one.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a good bowler, that is the best over to bowl, is the first over of the game.
Yeah.
Third, fourth over? Nah.
No, see you later, mate. No, I think you're right. No, it probably Yes, it's less likely a six gets hit in the first over than in the three, four, fifth, sixth over. And, you know, I don't think the ball's going to change too much if you lost the ball in the first ball and then gave it back for the first ball of the second over. Not going to lose too much there. And, yeah, I mean, I spoke about this Cricket Impact Summit when we were there. They asked me, what could you do to grow the game here? And say, I'm like, you got to make it a little bit more Americanized. Mm. That's baseball fans love coming to the game. It's a tradition. You bring your mitt to the game. You go with your dad and you're waiting for that catch. You take the catch and it's something that you get to take home. And cricket for the American fans, traditionally, it's one ball per game, especially in T20, one ball per game. In the test matches for the Ashes coming up, it'll be one ball per innings. That's going to be 80 to 90 overs. Will have to be bowled before you exchange the balls. The only way you can get the ball to change is if there's a damage. If there's damage to the ball, if the ball gets wet, if it gets a nick in it, if it goes hit for six and it maybe hits a chair and gets a cut in it or it gets out of shape, that's the only way the ball can change. So having the ability for the fans to potentially keep a ball, I think is very good for fan engagement.
I'm trying to look at the price of a baseball compared to a cricket ball. It says here you can buy the best grade Kookaburra, which is the Australian brand cricket ball. The white ball, it's $150 a ball.
Holy smokes.
Comparison. I wonder what, I'm just trying to look for.
If I bought a Major League Baseball, it would have been cost me like $35 to $40.
Smart not doing it throughout the game because you're losing a lot of money. But I think the smart doing it the first six pitches.
Yeah.
A Kookaburra ball, what is used by the professionals is maybe $150 a ball.
Yeah.
Because it's white ball. It's T20 cricket.
Yeah.
So I don't think there'd be as many balls caught as we think.
No, if it's the first over, you would budget in. You're losing. Your budget would be one an inning, so two a game. You know, if there was somehow five sixes hit over the 12 balls, that would be pretty extreme.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to include fours or not. If it's just going to be sixes,
it's got to be just sixes, right?
Should be just sixes. Just sixes. Yeah. Throw the ball back if it's a four. But it's looking good. Not only that, but during the broadcast, they did a whole piece on Tim David hit 120-meter absolute bomb, hit the top rail of the stadium at a Ninja Stadium in Hobart there. Huge six, and it's comparable to Shohei Ohtani, Dodgers game, similar trajectory, similar place, and it would have been a home run at Dodgers Stadium, and it would have been a true home run in every baseball stadium. Let's talk a little bit about how baseball is crossing over into the cricket world and how interesting that is that they brought it up during the Aussie broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to get... Well, the Aussie teams, firstly, own some of the cricket logistics for Major League Cricket.
Yes.
So I play for San Francisco. The cricket operation side is run by an Australian state team, which is Victoria. Victoria is the state. Melbourne's the main city in that state. So it's trying to like crossing over. For me traveling around the world, I think Australian cricket and the Big Bash is closer to American sports than any other, like UK, even IPL. I think it's very... And I think speaking to Nick Cummins from Victoria, I think they did a lot of research coming across and watching baseball games and watching American football games to say, well, how can we make cricket, the atmosphere, the experience, same or try to get somewhere near American sports?
Yeah.
And I think stuff like this with the Shohei Ohtani crossover, and I did some stuff with Nick Swisher, which is really cool, at the Yankees Stadium. I know in Toronto, obviously they're just went through a rough time there last week, but they do a really cool cricket night where they're trying to engage people who love cricket to come to the baseball, and also baseball fans who can potentially do a cricket batting cage in the stand. And I think there's a lot of crossover, which is great.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And even the stuff when you talk about Tim David and Ohtani about the hitting and how that looks like and the technique and the breakdown. In cricket, there's a lot more sixes, home runs, but I feel like in baseball, they hit it further.
Oh, way further. There's definitely no debate on the baseball goes further. I think it does come down to the physics of the ball and the bat. Mm. I think the ball flies a little more than the cricket ball. And obviously the cricket bat, you're not going to be able to swing it as fast as the baseball bat because it's bigger, a little heavier. That does slow the bat speed down. But it's also now that they have the Fox tracker, you can see the bat speed, the exit velocity, because that's what Americans are really dialed into. They love seeing the exit velocity of how a batter hits the ball and where they hit the ball and then tracking into the stands and knowing how many feet that it went. So Australia announced their 15-man squad for the first test of the Ashes in Perth. Who the duck? Who the Duck is Where the World makes a spot in the 15. They have no idea who's going to open. We have no idea who's going to open. No one has an idea who's going to open. So Who the Duck? Who the Duck is Where the World?
I think he's a very good player. I'm just looking at some of his stats. 24-25 domestic season, scored 900 runs at 50.
Solid.
If you're averaging 50 in cricket for the USA baseball fans, that's outstanding.
That's basically your
300?
Point 300, yeah, batting over 300, yeah.
Very similar. So he's got 900 runs at 50. That was last year. This year, 25-26 season, scored 248 at 40.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean,
still early in the season.
It is. So he's backed up last year with a solid start to the season this year.
Yeah, I think that 900 could be, I think he might have got most runs. He could have got close to the top run scorer in first class cricket last year.
Okay.
So yeah, he's making his way in. That he would hasn't played for Australia, so he would be making his debut if he is picked as an opener. He is a left-handed opening batter. Not sure. He got some tats, so maybe he's a little bit aggressive. I don't know.
He's got some tats.
It's Coley-esque. Got a Coley-esque sleeve. So
is that how you judge if you have tattoos? You're an aggressive player, Stokesy.
That's how I. If I'm ever watching like an MMA fight, I just go, who has the most tats? They're gonna win. That's my that's how I judge it. Most tats.
If you've got a shin tat, you're aggressive.
Oh, yeah. If you've got aggressive. A shin tat, that's up there. Does anyone in cricket have a good shin tat?
I think there's a few. I just don't know who, you know. I think there's maybe Reece Topley, maybe.
You can never tell because they're always wearing long pants.
Yeah. Reece Topley played for England, plays for Surrey. I think he's got some nice tats. Maybe he's got a shin tat.
Was he aggressive?
No. Oh. Go against the flow. The opposite.
Against the flow. So they still don't know. So that the opening slot, Sam Contis gets dropped. He's named. He's not in the 15-man squad. He played last year during this season, test series against India, Bodhi Gavaskar Trophy, came in for the Boxing Day test. Australia was in all sorts last year. They had McSweeney, who bats three.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly for Queensland, then he moved to South Australia. Then he got thrust into the opening spot, even though he was a three batter.
Yep.
With that in comparison, imagine you're the third or fourth hitter or the second hitter in baseball, and you're asked to be the leadoff hitter.
Yep.
It's not your position. He struggled, and then he was dropped. Sam Contis came in and then didn't struggle. He was very unorthodox and very wild, and he disrupted India, and he scored some runs, and it was a great debut. But since then, hasn't scored the runs, so mm-hmm. he's been dropped out of the squad. Didn't do very well in the state cricket either. So we're looking to Weatherall to potentially be the opener.
I think with Khawaja, but are you going to go double left-hander? And the reason why I say that, I think Jofra Archer, a free hit. I'm going to go with my free hit.
Oh, yes. This is the segment, team. Free hit. Free hit is going to be when each of us don't get a response. You just get to say what you say.
You guys can respond to
it. You can respond, but I'm sticking out of this. This is simply Liam's free hit. He's called. It's the big circle, right?
Yeah.
This way.
I think it's this way.
Oh, yeah. That's the power play. This is the free hit. Okay, so it's free hit.
So an umpire in cricket, if you, as a pitcher, as a bowler, if you step over the front line with your front foot, it's obviously a foul ball. It's like a foul, and the umpire will do this signal, which means the next delivery I'm going to bowl or pitch is a free hit.
It's if the pitcher stepped off his home plate, it would be like a free ball.
Free ball.
Free ball, yeah, something like that.
The only way you can be out is run out. In that free hit, you can be run out. Or stumped. Yeah.
We've got to get into that. I love a good wide stumping.
Leg side?
That's classic.
Slide down leg side.
I love that. I used to come up to the stumps to the pace. I used to go, he's Bill Johnny Bessa. This guy's out of his crease. He's standing foot out of his crease. I'd go, hey, the fast bowler, come on. I'm going to stand up to the stumps. Go leg side, try and get a stumping.
I love a little sneaky backdoor stumping. I want to finish
the backdoor stump.
I'd love to finish my career with a leg side. I'll ball it down leg side, and the wicketkeeper gets a stumping. I'd like
set
to
it up.
Free hit. I'm going to go free hit.
Free hit. Go.
A lot of people are going to probably back me here. I think double left-handed opening is a trouble for Australia because I think free hit. Jofra Archer is one of the best bowlers in the world to left-handers. That's where I'm at. I think with the angle that he bowls, to a right-hander, Jofra Archer, England's one of the fastest bowlers, very skillful. He releases the ball and it naturally kind of goes into a right-hander.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking for to hit the stumps, for the ball to hold, to get outside edges. But to a left-hander, he's got a natural action where it kind of comes out really straight. In the last minute, it'll nip off the surface or get a little bit of swing, which is obviously hard to play as a left-hander. So for me, I think my free hit, Joff Archer, is one of the best in the world bowling for left-handers.
Can I review? I'm going for a
bit of review.
Is he going to, would he bowl around the wicket or over the wicket? And let's explain that to them, how that, what that looks like.
Yeah, so if I'm a right-handed bowler, you have, say for instance, can they see this?
Use your microphone as the stumps.
Okay, so if I'm bowling this position, if I'm bowling straight to a right-hander, this way, right?
Yeah.
The umpire's in the middle. Yep. If I'm bowling this side of the umpire and I'm bowling to a batsman, that's called right arm over the wicket.
I like to think about it if the ball is going over the stumps, if the ball is close to the stumps.
Yeah. So you have, I would run in this way. I would ball pitch the delivery this side of the umpire. Right arm round is if I'm a bowler, I'll then switch to go this way and it gives me a different angle to bowling at the batsman. So sometimes you might struggle over the wicket to get wickets. You might struggle with consistency. If you come round the wicket, it gives you that ability to bowl a different line.
Yes.
I think Joffre will start over the wicket because it's probably going to bring in all modes of dismissals. And then depending what the ball's doing, he might go round.
Yep.
So because you want to attack the stumps and have late movement, you don't want to go over the wicket and everything's going easy to leave. The batsman's going to get used to the delivery, used to the pace, used to the pitch. So I think he'll start over the wicket and then quickly he'll go around the wicket.
Yep.
Because his natural angle will go into the batsman and last minute it'll nip away, which is hard to play.
Yes. Now, one of the cool strategic things in placement, in cricket, you have to place the field, and what's going to happen mostly during the whole test, there'll be the slips caught in. And how that, what that looks like is you have the catcher, the keeper is all the way back. He's going to be 50 feet, 60 feet back. Mm-hmm. He's going to set the slips caught in. He needs to be able to see the ball come out of the bowler's hand as well as the batter. So he's going to be a little bit to the offside or the left side of the left-hander. And then he's going to set his first slip. Now, if Joffre Archer changes from over the wicket to around the wicket, the first slip has to move because if he
is... A bit wider.
Yeah, if he's coming over the wicket, he has to be able to see. So he's going to push a little wider. And then if he's coming around the wicket, he might come a little closer to the keeper. And that will then set the slips out from there. Because he's looking to get the ball to swing away from the left-hander and take the edge and get caught in the slip.
What he's really good at is not too much swing, but late. Is like you'll hit the pitch, the ball will hit the surface, and then it'll go that way.
Yeah.
So it's hard to play because you can't line it up. So that was my free hit. I think he'll love to bowl at left-handers up top. And I feel if there's any movement in the wicket, then Australia will be in trouble very early.
Down here, Perth, you reckon he's going to open the bowling? Open the bowling?
Yep.
Okay. First over, second slip off the edge. Quad gets squared up, second slip.
Yeah.
Right there.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Or the new debutant.
The new debutant.
I think he'll nick off.
Talk about this. So in opening the batting, in baseball, you had the leadoff hitter. The leadoff hitter goes out. But in cricket, two blokes go out. Two guys go out to face the first over. And it is either by, you have to pick who's going to face the first ball. Personally, I always open the batting. I faced every ball of every match I ever played, and the only game I didn't win, we lost the championship game because I decided not to open me. First time ever I didn't open.
What are you
first
thinking?
Game I didn't. I wasn't my call. It wasn't my call. We got on. That, it wasn't my call.
If you opened that button, you might have played for Australia.
Yeah?
That might have been the game that made you excel, you know?
Yeah.
So then who dropped you from that position?
Oh, my coach didn't want to play me. My coach didn't want to play me. We won a grand final. Then there's a cool stat. I've never lost. If I opened the batting in every game that I played, every game that I made it to drinks, we won.
Mm.
If I didn't make it to drinks, we generally lost.
That coach should be looking at this now thinking you made a huge mistake. Look at you now, mate. That's cricket, right? That's cricket. Look at us now.
That's cricket. Because in junior cricket, you know, in baseball, everyone gets a hit. And everyone gets potentially three hits. You just go for the lineup. In cricket, if you're the opening batter and you never get out, well, then you're batting the entire time. I would bat a lot. And the other kids in my team would hate it because especially everyone wants to have a go. It's Saturday cricket. No, I just wanted to stay there and keep batting. So I just kept batting, and the kids would hate it. Like, can you get out so we can have a go? No, I want to keep batting.
I want to stay.
I want to stay. Shield cricket's getting underway this week, and the Aussies are going to be all set to participate. England, well, they got a little bit of different road. They don't have prep. I don't know if they play a pre-game. Sometimes they play like a Prime Minister's 11. Sometimes it's a prep game. What does England have for prep going on for them?
I think what I've heard is they're just going to play between themselves. Normally, if you obviously travel to Australia to play in the Ashes, you will take a bunch of players behind you. Often England, you've got England first team. Below that is the England Lions, like an England A team.
Yeah.
They'll kind of shadow the movements. So then you've got like a barrage of players. If there's injuries in the first squad, the guys will get selected.
Yeah.
So the Lions are maybe potentially playing some games in and around the Ashes series.
Yeah.
But I think England's only prep is they're going to be doing practice sessions, net sessions, and I think they'll play like England versus England Lions, or they might mix the squads up.
Got it. That makes sense. There has to be a Prime Minister's 11. I mean, traditionally, there's a Prime Minister's 11. That's a thing that happens. I haven't heard, but maybe they like, oh, no, we don't want to give him the Prime Minister's 11 because it's the Ashes. We don't give him any,
maybe,
any
I think,
heads up.
Yeah, maybe from the strategy from Australia is, no, you figure out your
own. You figure it out. It's part of the strat.
Because normally it's down in Canberra, right?
Normally, it's Prime Minister's 11. They go to Canberra. But they've touched down in Perth. So to do a little geographic, it would be the equivalent of having the game in D.C. for the Prime Minister's 11, but we're taking place in California. So Perth's all the way on the west coast of Australia.
Great point.
We're all the way on the west coast, and then they'll come. The way that's going to work, they'll go Perth, and then they're going to come to Brisbane, which would be the equivalent of coming to New York geographically, the top part of the northern part of Australia. Then they go to Adelaide, I think, back to Adelaide, which is right in the bottom of the middle, which would be Texas. Then they're going to go to Melbourne for the MCG Boxing Day test. That's
North Carolina-ish.
Yeah, North Carolina or Miami. Yeah, down in that corner, and then to Sydney. The SCG for the New Year's test, which would be, somewhere in the middle.
No, New York?
I would have to have Brisbane's above it.
Yeah,
so Carolina would have to be Sydney and Miami would have to be Melbourne in geographical location. So maybe that's it. They're just because they're on the West Coast. They don't want to fly them over. And the Aussies gave Stokesy a little bit of a barrage from Kiwi born.
Kiwi born. I think Stokesy will take it on his chin. He'll actually like it. He's fairly cruisy, stepping off the plane with his golf clubs, you know, all that good stuff. He loves it. I mean, he's been man of the match in many Ashes games, World Cup games. He loves, he thrives on the pressure.
Yeah.
Aggressive. He's full of tats, so he's obviously aggressive.
Full of tats. Know? Bringing it back to the state games, so I had a thought. This morning that I think something that of looking over the Australian team as a whole, they dominated during the 90s, early 2000s, before the 05. They were very, very dominant. And even as a kid growing up, I went and I saw a state game. Mark and Steve Waugh played in that game. And looking at the state of state cricket, they don't do as much state cricket as they used to, as in seeing the Australian 11 playing against the Australian 11 players. They're now, before, with franchise cricket and T20 cricket, they're off playing RPL, they're off playing in another league, they're off getting ready, they're off doing big bash scenarios. They're not stuck in ODI or state level cricket. It used to be only you played test cricket, you played ODI cricket, and everything in between, you were playing state games and first class games. Talk about a little bit about like how that could maybe affect the teams.
Yeah, both teams, right? It's the same situation for in UK because people are not going to be playing 4-day cricket if they're playing 1-day cricket or they've got picked for the IPL. So obviously you're going to be playing not purely for your team, your county, your state. But I mean, to your point, that's kind of what makes it so special. Well, it used to be is that everyone who plays for Australia, there'd be a time where you can go back and play for your state and even down to your club, which is amazing to think. If you had an England player playing club cricket on a weekend, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
But I think now in terms of the franchise cricket and people getting picked up for big lump sums of money to play in India, to play in Pakistan, that's kind of priority.
Yeah.
Which it's sad, but it's also a reality because you got to pay your bills and you don't know what's going to happen in the future with injuries.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I used to love what you just talked about where you kind of tune in and you could see New South Wales versus Victoria and you'd see the best players against the best players.
Yeah.
A bit like county cricket. You used to watch Surrey versus Yorkshire or Durham versus Yorkshire, Michael Vaughan, Steve Harmison, Darren Lehman, Collingwood, Shoaib Akhtar. It's like the full studied. You're getting to see the best players play county cricket. Are you going to get the best Aussie players playing state cricket, and also club cricket, great cricket, which is crazy.
It bridges that gap for the fan, because if you're playing a traditional ODI or a test game, the players aren't giving you the time off the field. And I remember going to that state game. They played in Newcastle, where I'm from, and they played at the local field or the top field there in Newcastle. And they just had a little pop-up table, and they were signing autographs for everyone, and just, you know, which you're not going to get at a test. You're not going to get that at test level, but you get it at the state level, the first class, the level they have a little bit of time. But I think it's also, you got to think about the fame and the money and the security. Yeah. It's a little bit different now. It's probably a little bit more restricted on letting the players hang out with the common folk in those kind of settings.
Yeah, 100%. And I think in cricket, it's very lucky because you're the most accessible from a fan standpoint. Not international, but if you're playing for a county game or if you're playing state cricket, the fans can come, the kids can come and speak to you when you're in the outfield.
Yeah.
And you can actually reach over and sign autographs and have conversations with people who are down. Like, that's a really nice part of cricket.
Yeah.
I think in terms of other sports, I think cricket is right up there in terms of engagement and speaking to the crowd. Firstly, because the game is so long.
Yeah.
So if you're playing a game that's 4 days, you're going to be in the outfield all in, what, 2 out of the 4 days?
Yeah.
So you got to keep yourself entertained in and around the balls being bowled and sixes being hit. You got to obviously engage with the crowd and get to know them and enjoy it. You know, that's a part of it.
Yeah, I think it was really cool. Like, even being at the Coliseum, for example, you know, it was great to have all the fans come up, rush to the side, and seeing you there, and everyone talks to them. And it is kind of a unique thing. I'm thinking about it, like, if you played football or soccer, you don't have that ability to go or be by the fans and talk to the fans. But like, having you're in the field all day, and you're going to be at Fine Leg, or you're going to be at Cow Corner, or wherever you're going to be on the boundary, you get to talk to the fans, and the fans come up and they love, obviously, all the stars, and they want to get that signature, and it's all good to feel. It's a feel good both ways, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I can give a little bit of a story. I remember I played. It was an Ashes series. I'm not sure what year it was now. Many moons ago. I was a part of the squad, and you talk about fan engagement. I played in a friendly at Lilac Hill, and I went to catch the ball, and like, I scuffed it, and like, the bone popped out of my finger. And I remember I was walking off in pain, and like, an Aussie fan absolutely ruined my day. He was like, "Oh, you weak as this? I can't believe it. That's bullshit." That I was like, "That's a fan engagement." I was like, "Okay, cool. It's not the nicest fan. He's not supportive, but yeah, I feel you, mate. Thank you very much." But it shows you the rivalry and how close you can get to the fans.
Yeah,
like, as you walk off, like, they're right here.
You're right there.
Yeah, especially in the warm up games or the county grounds. Like, yeah, you're fully immersed in the crowd. They can get to you if they want to.
Yeah, they're right in there.
Normally, they're good.
You know, they're good. Yeah, everyone's pretty good. Maybe you get a couple pitch invaders. You get a couple...
Streakers,
yeah.
That used to be a big thing.
Gotta love the streakers. I think one of my favorite memories of that is watching Andrew Simons absolutely take out a guy.
Rugby tackle.
Absolutely deck him. That's they're the good. Bring those days back.
Yeah, we should get some clips of that.
Bring some clips. Yeah. And think about those days. Have you ever been in a game where they've rushed the field after a win? Because that's kind of really stamped out of the game now. But if you go back 80s, 90s, those early mm-hmm. days, there's probably, I don't know if there was a line in the sand, but back, you look in those Alan Border era days, they would just rush the field, you know?
In terms of the fans?
Fans rushing the field.
Not really too much, to be honest with you. I mean, now, like, even the World Cup win, there's obviously...
They can't do it now. So much security.
But it's also the players, but also they don't want people running onto the pitch and obviously spoiling the surface. Goes into it.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be a while ago since that happened, and I can't remember it off the top of my head.
I just think of a couple memories of this, like Steve Waugh at a World Cup, I think. They ran in, and I went in West Indies, and they're trying to steal his bat and everything, and he's shoving them off.
It used to be back in the day when you didn't used to have the cameras in the stumps. People would run on and obviously take the stumps out of the ground.
Yeah.
As a to remember the day.
Yeah, but souvenir.
Now, yeah, but now there's so much technology and wires and cameras in the stumps.
You can't take them?
No, that's the first thing. They'll get protected because that's expensive. There's a lot of great equipment.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
That's a classic thing. So for the American fans, it'd be equivalent of running out and stealing a base. And taking the base home with you. In cricket, as soon as the game was over, if you were the winning team, the first thing that you would do is run and you would grab the stumps. So there's 6 potential stumps, 4 potential bales. I don't think anyone keeps the bales, maybe.
I think is it one stump each end has the camera, right? So potentially
one stump each end. Oh, it would have been 4 stumps, of the 6.
So yeah, you can potentially take...
Stump off stump.
Yeah, and then the middle was the camera with the wires and the technology.
Yes,
in it,
Because I guess you've got the Snicko in there, you've got the backwards cam in there. Those stump marks pick up a lot. so too much. The thing I think too much. Think about Brody. That's all you're going to be remembered for.
I watched their podcast yesterday, and Brody was talking about when he said that to Alex Carey. And he kind of felt bad to think, well, actually, is that going to be all he's remembered for? But thankfully, as Brody said, he's become a good
he's
cricketer.
He's actually really solid.
He's a lovely bloke.
I think he could even open the batting. I think he's a real good bat.
I hope he does, because Joffre will snick him off. So I hope I hope he opens. But you're right, it's a possibility. But yeah, Joffre's win-win.
Joffre, there you go. Finally coming up, Mark Wood. Mark Wood had a little, I watched his little interview, mm-hmm. and he goes, Aussies are the favourites, and I don't know. I think he could have come out with a little bit more pizzazz, a little bit more zest, a little bit more, hey, I'm going to come take you guys down, bowling 95 clicks. What are your thoughts on Woody's little interview right there?
I love Woody to pieces. When I looked at him, it looked like he's just had a tough day bowling, and he was like hot. I could see his cheeks were bright red and his eyes look red, so he's been itching. So I'm thinking he's like kind of tired, he's just bald, and then you get rushed in front of the media. But I think he's just saying what the facts have been.
Yeah.
It's hard to win in Australia. Australia have got a good team. They're the favourites. But what I did like what he said there's more English fans in Perth than Australian fans.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't say that, but maybe. But I think there's a lot of English live, a lot of expats live in Perth, and I think we're going to get a huge following. Coming from the UK, it's a quicker flight to Perth than going across to Sydney, to Melbourne.
Yep.
So I think you're going to get a lot of English fans there. But yeah, he said like since they've been there, the Aussie fans have been welcoming. Like,
oh, well, yeah, there you go. Perth fans. I have never been to Perth. I'm not sure what the
really?
No, I've never been there. Yeah. Never been across the pond. I've been Adelaide. I've been Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. Never been over to Perth.
Just straight. You bypassed Perth straight to America. That's what you did.
Yeah, I went over the Pacific Ocean. I went the other way.
Okay.
I went the other way across the ocean. Yeah, because when you fly, you go straight from Sydney to LA.
Okay.
That's the way over there to the States. And then from LA, you come over to New York.
That's a bit there. So you didn't go to Perth because you don't like people from Perth.
Well, now you're putting that words in my mouth right there. But yeah, I had no reason to go to Perth.
Yeah.
No reason to go.
Great, great part of the world. Love it.
You've been there?
Yeah, I've played some games there. I've been there with traveling teams, been there with England, played at ODI there. Not in the, I didn't get picked for the game in the new stadium, but I played in the Wacker, which is traditional ground. We can get more into that before the first Ashes test come out. But Woody's landed. There's more England fans than Aussie fans. He thinks Aussies are the favourite, but England are going to win the series 5-0. That's what Woody said, I think.
Wow.
Maybe he didn't say that.
Maybe he put words in his mouth. I don't know. Do you really think Aussies are the favourites?
I think they have to be. It's hard to win in Australia. Also, the prep is, there's no excuses. England's prep maybe is not as good as Australia. They're about to play 14 out of the 15 squad. The Australians are going to play in a four-day game now leading up to the Ashes. The best way to prep for a test is to play red ball cricket against great competitions in great grounds and great stadiums to feel what it's like. Like Steve Smith now is going back to play for New South Wales. He's going to captain that. So all of a sudden his brain's into captain mode, which is going to help him for the first test.
Yeah.
So, and England's a little bit different. As much as you want to be training at your highest possibly intensity, it's hard to do that when you don't have a full opposition. You can run through it. You can bowl 5, 6, 7 overs. You can bat. But it's not quite the feeling of being in front of an opposition and a bit of a crowd.
Yeah. Very good. Team, that is a wrap on the pod show for today. We're going to send it off. How about that one?
That's cricket.
That's cricket.
That's cricket.